people talk to Russ and Ball about it. Don't give an inch for them either, because ain't nobody has any higher position in this country than you have.
Period. Hello?
President Eisenhower on 9-1.
Take this,
please. Yes, sir.
And you'll be damn sure if you didn't. If they don't, you don't think they would.
Hello?
Hello.
Yes, Mr. President, I'm so glad to hear you.
Well, God bless you. How are you, sir?
Doing pretty good.
Well, that's fine. I don't want to keep you too long, but I have been talking to Bob Anderson a little bit, and he told me he's going to see you soon. But I just wanted to speak to you first about a subject that's bothered me very much, and I don't want to be in the position of second-guessing, and I don't talk about it publicly, but it's this. Our position in Rhodesia. This thing, of course, I've read nothing on it. I have no briefing on it. I've read the papers. But participating in this embargo and with Rhodesia having been a member of the British Commonwealth, I just didn't know. Didn't know the reasons. And I just, rather than try to get into the State Department and let them think I was in their business, I'd ask you.
I wonder if I could have the general see you sometime the next day or two and go into that with you, and why have gone along with Wilson to the extent we have, and how we've done it, and how we've tried to keep away from it as far as we could without completely sacrificing other interests. You going to be free any time next day or two for me to have? Well, I need for him to do it for two reasons. First, I wish you'd tell him too, when you see him, as a little service to me. I think I have some higher things in mind for him down the road. I'm going to be here a little while longer, and I don't know anybody that has been of greater service to me than he has since the day you told me what you did over here. And tell him, number one, I'm bearing that in mind. But number two, that the man that needs him most right now is the president, and that I may have to call on him to serve me a little more personally than I have in the past. And I know that any soldier is responsive to that request, but you prepare him for it a little bit, because in the days ahead, I'm going to have to get him to be coming in here a little more than he has.
Mr. President, I'll tell you my absolute conviction. There's no man around you or that I know of anything whose comprehension of all of these complex subjects is better, and whose advice will always be absolutely objective.
That's what.
Nothing to see. You don't have to fear that he has partisanship sways him in the slightest. He has none. He just wants to serve.
I
the best man I know in the government.
I believe that when you told me, and he has confirmed that, and I know he wants to go to the top and with his military career, and I'll try to see that he does that. But I have to rely on him to kind of serve me on an overall policy that's something besides just being chief of staff of the Army or something like that during the next few months, because this is pretty serious. I'll have him get in touch with you on two things. The complete story from beginning to end, and together with the dangers we see and the problems that present in the Rhodesian thing, and number two, the Vietnam thing as of this moment, because it's been too long since I had any suggestions.
I will be delighted that he can come any time. I'll make the time for him, because I just like him as a friend. I'm just delighted, because I'll tell you another thing. He is so smart, no one will ever think that he is between you and your chairman and chief of staff.
That's right.
No one will ever have to be jealous of him, because he doesn't seek that kind of thing. He just wants to be helpful.
Well, you inherited things here from a different party when you came in. Now, I came in and I inherited things from my own party. Now, there have been adjustments and there have been changes and there have been problems, and I have become a good deal closer to him since you were here, and we've tried to handle things differently. I want to bring him in more than I have before, and we have some adjustments. Some people that have been here are leaving, and I need to make some adjustments accordingly. And you can't do everything a day before yesterday. It takes a little time. And I had an election on my hands. I had to get that behind me. And then I had a first session of Congress. Had to get that behind me. And I found that we were involved in a lot of things that I've been trying to find ways and means of extricating us from. So no one's been more helpful to me than he has, or you have. But I will have him. I'll have him get out there in the next day or two.
I'd be delighted. I'd like to talk that over with him. And
how are you feeling?
Well, I'm, Mr. President, I'm gaining strength each day. I'm not playing golf yet. That is, not hitting a long ball yet. But about another 10 days, I think I'll be playing golf.
Please watch yourself.
I'll do it.
Please do, and my love to Ms. Eisenhower.
You bet I will.
Thank you.
Remember me, please, kindly, to Lady.
I sure will, and I'll have the general call you.
Thank you.